Hello and welcome to another episode of Galactic Goddess Podcast. I'm your host, Radha Nelia, and today I have a very special show called Empath Survival Guide. We're going to be diving in deep with understanding what it means to be an empath and how to navigate, you know, your life and boundaries as an empath. In other words, how can you be an empowered empath? This episode includes an energy forecast, and of course we're gonna drop in tips and tools to not to survive but to truly thrive as an empath during times of chaos and acceleration. As you may know, we are definitely ascending towards higher frequencies coming in. And what that means is we're going to have to drop the dead weight, people. So I hope this podcast will assist you in your sacred journey. So stay tuned. Hello, good morning, Susan.
Hi, Radha, good morning.
So wonderful to have you on again.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here and to really connect with everybody once again. It's always so fun and good to just expand and go there with you.
Yeah, and yeah. I think our topic for this show, you know, Empath Survival Guide, is going to help a lot of people.
So. Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, what is your definition of an empath?
I consider an empath someone who is just very sensitive to energy and someone who takes on a lot of energy very easily, someone who absorbs it, you know, into their body and can really feel, you know, another person. I always like to describe it based on how I used to feel in the body. When I walk into a room, right, and say, someone is in a really bad mood or there's some sort of argument, I would instantly get stomach aches. So, and I, you know, kind of like grew up getting like this, like, what is this? And it's like, oh, I'm empathing this chaos and holding it into my body. So that's just one way that I like to think of it. But what about you in your own life and in your own work? How would you define it?
Well, like you, like, I didn't know what an empath was growing up. So, you know, I tended to be like a vacuum cleaner. Like I would just suck in people's energy. Not like a vampire where I was like, I needed their energy, but I was so open in my heart and my mind and just who I am that, if someone was like angry and I would feel it inside of me, like you said, I'd feel sick or, you know, I would take in that energy. But then the bad part was I would transmute it, or I would try to transmute it without knowing, like unconsciously. And I think a lot of empaths, we are peacemakers. We want peace. We want harmony. We don't want to see people in pain, especially people that we love. And so we suck up so much energy when we are unconscious or don't know. We are like almost trying to unconsciously like pull it away from them, like, you know, and pulling it into our own body. And that's when we get into trouble, because I think that's when we get sick. And later we have to clear that stuff like out. And a lot of it like went to my stomach, you know, like it goes into your stomach. You just eat it up for people. And like, just because you love so much, you don't even know what you're doing. And I think, you know, animals are the same way. They're empaths and they take in the energy of their owners and they manifest, you know, sometimes ailments, you know, from that. So we want to be really conscious as empaths, how we are in the world and how we can survive, you know, because there's so much chaos going on in the world. So how do we walk into a room with people and have, you know, this or that going on? Or even if I walk into a room with a TV, like if I get my nails done, and they have the news blasting, as an empath, it starts to like jar me a little bit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing I want to add to that as well is the sort of like, so we can sort in a physical body, but emotionally what I see go on too is this false reality occurs where you're feeling somebody who, say, feels really horrible about themselves, and you're empathing that, and then you start feeling that and thinking, wait, is this me? Is this person mad at me? Or am I the one who's actually feeling bad? Wait, am I the one in this scenario who hates themselves? And it's literally just because we're absorbing and taking everything on. So it's so important to have sort of energetic toolbox where you can get in there, find ways to dump this energy, but also this sort of discernment of what's mine and what's somebody else's. I know that when I'm watching the news, I know that that's not mine. So it's like, okay, it's clear cut examples, right? But then it's different when you're in a living with people, when you're growing up in a family where, say you're growing up with a lot of narcissists too, right? Empath, narcissist, that's the common,
it's a combo.
Yeah. That's the combo right there. That's the couple. So, yeah. So wide, wide spectrum of different things that can happen and different things to consider.
Yeah. And, you know, share today, like how, you know, how we can protect ourselves as empaths, or how we can navigate maybe some tools. But before I do that, I want to ask, you know, what is your energy forecast? Because we are going through times of great change and somewhat of turbulence. And it's an inside outside job, both, yes. Right? So, you know, from your perception as a healer and someone that's really tuned into energies, how are you relating to this energy coming in?
Yeah, so it's funny because the world feels turbulent. Say, let's go to this news example, right? From what we're seeing, what's being put out there. And then, of course, there's different things in our everyday life that look turbulent. And what I'm seeing is what this is representing is what is turbulent within us that, you know, we have to really look in and inside and settle for good within. And what I've seen these energies bring up for me are themes that I've been working through this past year of like, okay, what needs to be really looked at and integrated? Because I would say this overall sort of chaotic energy, this up and down, is just rocking us into alignment. It's always about alignment and us getting there. And so it seems like there is this acceleration of energies trying to get us there, maybe a little bit faster. And I think on the highest level, we want that, right? We want to hurry up and evolve and get there. But to actually process and integrate that is a slow process. And so if you are feeling a lot of discomfort in your life right now, if things don't feel stable, if they feel scary, if you've got health issues coming up or other emotional things to consider, this is kind of like you're revving up to be like, okay, what do I need to look at and feel, and how much extra can I love myself through this integration process? So that's what I've been sensing from these energies. Yeah.
That's so beautiful. I love that. You know, everything is rocking us back to alignment. Yeah. And I do notice that, like, sometimes when things feel like they're tipping over, it's like the old has to leave, or like the old energy has to leave. Like we have to do it's almost like a big release, and it feels like a mini earthquake, but then you let it settle and you trust that, okay, what's going to come from this is going to be good. And that's how I've been starting to see things when I observe things, you know, going a little bit sideways. I'm like, okay, this is good. Something better is going to come from this. Like a better solution, a better communication, a better connection, something good is going to come. And I think we have to stay optimistic, you know, even when things don't quote unquote look the way we want them, you know, because I mean, things are, they're great too. Like they're beautiful, they're wonderful. And then like when a little thing happens, it's like, whoa, everything's falling apart, you know? So,
yep.
But, so I just wanted to share like a few things, like how could people define if they might be an empath? And I'll share a few and then you share a few. Okay.
Yeah.
So you might be an empath if you have like a friend who's really feeling like distraught or stressed out, or maybe they're always going through some kind of chaos, but then you end up feeling it too. Like you're like, oh my gosh, yes. You get caught in the turbulence of it and it becomes almost like yours. Like you can't define where it ends and where it begins, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And then empaths, we are notoriously super sensitive. I mean, like, super sensitive. So sometimes we can build, you know, build strong barriers or walls. And, you know, eventually sometimes people become really, really tough because they feel so deeply and they have to find coping mechanisms. But I think empaths, like, we can, especially if we're close to somebody, we can get really hurt. Just like little tiny things can just be like, oh, you know,
yeah,
my feelings, like, oh, you didn't text me back fast enough. Or, I mean, we're just sensitive people. What can I say? But
yeah.
What would you say? What are a couple of things that you...
Yeah. So, yeah, playing off that sensitivity, I know part of the empath profile is because you feel so much, you kind of do like to step back, maybe be a little bit more of a hermit, maybe come off more as that introvert. And that's just because life is extremely overwhelming when what I like to describe to clients is like, you're like the Brita filter, just being dropped into the scenarios and just filtering and absorbing. And the thing about empaths is, empaths, you know, we're the healers, right? We are the ones who carry that extraordinary amount of empathy and compassion. And so if you just always feel this like overwhelming, you know, compassion and need to help others, that's part of the empathic profile. But the thing is, it's like you would give so much more of yourself out there versus replenishing. That's kind of a empath trait of just because you have so much empathy. You're like, how can I help? How can I listen to this friend's issues and put them before me when I haven't even given myself time to work through my own issues? I've seen a lot of that giving when the tank is empty.
Yeah. So, that's true.
Yeah.
I remember those days.
Like, exactly.
I think because we get so much from giving, right? We love to give. It hurts us to see anyone in pain. So we're like, we're the paramedics. 911, did you call? Yeah. Like, we're here. How can I help? But yet we haven't eaten or we haven't taken care of ourselves. And I think that's one of the biggest lessons for empaths is how to give to yourself first, right?
Yes, absolutely. You have to feed yourself first.
Have to.
It's the analogy of you're in an airplane and the masks fall down. Mm-hmm. What do? You put the mask on the oxygen on yourself first, right? Before helping, say, the person next to you. That's sort of like tip number one. And it's not selfish. It's like, wait,
no.
I need a foundation in order to be a foundation for others. That's so important. And then I would say the next thing too is empaths have a really big issue with setting boundaries. Big one. And this is so important. This comes up when I do my quantum sphere healing sessions with people. And I've even written an article about it because I'm like, listen, we got to rethink the way we set these boundaries. We're letting too much energy in, or we're giving out too much. So I would say, you know, as a starting place for people, think of your life, like, wait, where am I giving away too much?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I allowing people to take? And so much to the point where you just feel drained. So I would even say boundaries is number one. Like, that's something that everyone's got to learn. And that's difficult because you want to help. You don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah.
You want to stay friends with people, right? But then it's like, wait, how do I take care of myself?
Learning to say no has been my biggest best friend. Like, learning to say no, which was really hard for me before, you know, and I think I say it with a lot more grace and ease, because when I started trying to say it, like, I had to be a little bit harsh because I wasn't used to saying it. So, you know, I went the opposite. I'm like, no, you know, but then I think it's for empaths, like, sometimes we try to be like really tough, you know, because that's another way of like protection. And it has served. Like, that's when I got into Kali, you know, the goddess Kali, like the destroyer and of demons, because, you know, I realized like, oh, I really need to get tough on these people. But then, you know, you settle down and then you can get back into other modes and realize you can be like, no, thanks anyway. So, or sorry, I can't. And it becomes a lot more easy the more that you practice saying no, no, no. You know, it becomes a good feeling because then you're like, oh, I said no to you, but I say yes to me.
Absolutely. And part of the reason, too, we have to practice is if we have these so many violations occur, then we'll just blow up on somebody with that big, huge no, right? And then we might feel like guilty or shame because we didn't know, like, that was really loaded, right? So much other stuff had built up to it. So the practicing no, and like, I like to think of it as, I am not going to sign off on somebody else's bullshit. That's my kind of motto in life, because a lot of times with the empath, say in a narcissist relationship, someone's going to come in there and tell you, this is the way things are. This is the reality. This is what's going on. And you're like, actually, no, it's not. And so that's where the voice is so important. I know that I also absorb in my throat. So throat chakra, solar plexus problems, all very big with empaths. So using that voice, that's a huge one, you know, and you practice with little things, stating preferences, right? What your opinion is. And then you can get better with vocalizing an important energetic boundary.
It's beautiful. And I think it's so empowering. But like, for, as far as empaths, going back to identifying, I think empaths have very sensitive nervous systems.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Like they sort of, how would you describe that as a feeling?
It's like, I guess the way I would describe it is this, so this hypersensitivity, right? Being such a sensitive soul, like that amount of stress weakens the nervous system. So it's almost like we can acquiesce and just try and make people feel better so we don't have to feel bad anymore.
Like, let me clean this up for you so I feel better.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, if one dynamic I would have is like a friend is throwing a fit, right? So it's really awkward and uncomfortable. You're out somewhere, so you're extra nice to them. You over accommodate them because it feels so bad and awkward. And you know what? It's like, no. You're acting like a child. Like, we shouldn't let people get away like that.
No, not at all.
So, but we feel so bad because we can feel people, like, how much say they hate themselves, right? Or they're having a bad day. Or, I mean, people are very irresponsible with their energy. And it's the empath who's usually on the receiving end of that. So,
Yeah, that's an interesting. It is interesting because empaths also, you know, part of our, I think, responsibility is to learn how to say no, but also create boundaries for others so that they can grow up. So we're not always like enabling people by letting them get away with their shit and they need to be reprimanded for it, or they need to learn how to not get the babying when they need to grow up just a little bit, you know? So, you know, empaths tend to attract people maybe that are, you know, just not empaths.
Definitely. And sometimes I'm like, why is this lesson like repeating? And I know that part of like saying one of my empathic traits is I give people a lot of chances. And because I can, you know, see what's going on a higher level, but then I'm like, whoa, I'm not some janitor here to mop this up. Like, what? Right. No, like, go work that out with somebody else. And so I've learned how to see when, you know, someone is, say, taking advantage of my time or kindness where they're not actually taking the advice that I'm giving them. It's more so they just want someone to witness their hissy fit, right?
Yeah.
So that's a big one. And I would say the next step really for this, if we're going to talk about a survival guide, is what are you going to do with all that energy? Like, how are you dumping everything that you're absorbing from, the people who are more unconscious with their energy? And so I use grounding as a really, I mean, I use that technique for everything. I ground myself twice a day, and I think that it's extra important to do it during these energetic times. And so what I do with grounding too is, like, if I'm having an interaction with somebody who's very unpleasant, I make sure that when I'm grounding, my intention is to dump that energy straight into the center of the earth. Gaia will recycle it for us, you know, clean us out and, you know, replenish that energy. So I know that makes me feel better. Do you have any tools that you'd like to share with how you could get rid of this extra energy that you absorb as an empath?
Wow. I mean, I use a lot of different techniques. It's almost like they just come naturally to me now, but you know, a lot of times before I used to get hooked into drama, You know, so before I would try to reach out or like just get right hooked into it. I'd get let the cords come in.
Yeah.
So now I'm like super shields up. No, mm-hmm. no. Like there are no cords coming in. Like I do care. It's not that I don't care, but if you're going to throw all of this fire at me, don't expect me to play the game or I'm going to hook into you. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
I will have empathy for you in my little super shield.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I kind of learned how to create like a super shield where energetically it's like super shields up. I'm not taking it. I don't feel it. It's not coming into my heart, into my space. I'm just refracting it. It's like, no, I don't, I can't. And also if I'm not taking it on, guess what? You're going to feel it. And it's not a punishment. I'm just allowing you to understand what you're creating.
Yeah.
So I'm not punishing anybody and I'm not actually quote unquote doing anything except I'm not absorbing it. I just don't allow those energy hooks to come in. It's just almost automatic. And I think you have to just practice that. Whereas empaths, we were like open all the time. And like, I didn't know how to have that super shield up before, but you know, it's something you practice. And then knowing when to be open and knowing when it's okay to not be open, right?
Yeah.
We don't have to be 24/7. We're not like 7-Eleven. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, and learning like how to create like trust, like feeling things out before I really let someone really, really in, because it's important to just feel it out. Like I'm not like, you know, qualifying people all the time, but just feeling out like how do they react here, how do they react there, like keeping it cool until I feel like it's like worthy of coming in, you know, into my space, because my space is sacred. And I think empaths need to create sacredness within their space. That means inside of you as an empath. That means creating your body is your temple. You are your temple. That means I have temple, you know, walls, you know,
that are
not like not keeping people out or anything, but they're just, they can go up and down like the super shield that I have, you know? So, I think I put a high value on myself, and I think empaths need to value themselves, like loving myself and realizing I'm the most important person in my life gives me the energy and the self-love to say no and to say yes. Like, so I can accept good things when they come my way. I can accept great people and opportunities and situations, but I can also say no when it's not serving me.
Absolutely. And it's so important to sort of do that in real time instead of afterwards, where you're mm-hmm. like, now what am I going to do with this energy now that I've let this person drain me? And something that I've noticed with empaths is we've got to stop playing the martyr. Like, no, like you're here on your hero's journey. You're the hero of your own story. And so this sort of like martyr and just absorbing and just kind of like suffering just to make other people feel better. That's not your job. That's some past life stuff. Maybe that's some karma stuff that needs to get played out. But to actively know, like when be present in an interaction, so you really know what's going on and know to get that boundary up. And one thing you can do too is like, you know, like you just said, like set that intention, like, okay, like I do want to hear this person out. I do want to listen to them, because you can still do that. We can still give advice, receive and have, you know, we're here to have connections with people. It's just bringing in that extra awareness of, and, you know, as we get older too, there's that finesse, that maturity of like, okay, what's going on in this interaction? You know, what's this person trying to get out of this? And it's something we do with practice. So I don't want people to think like, oh, well, I'm just this empath and I'm sensitive. Let me shut myself out from the world and everyone's here to hurt me. Like, no, like have that. What makes us special is we have this open, loving, beautiful heart. And so with time, you learn to just radiate that, really stand in it. And you'll see the interactions change the more like confident you are. And we do get an ability over time to just be able to listen and help people out without feeling like, okay, this is too much. And when it does feel like it's too much, hey, vocal boundary, do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. The third chakra is so important. That's something I had to really work through, you know, so much was my throat chakra.
Yeah.
It's like I couldn't literally, I could not say no, and I couldn't state how I felt. And, you know, that's because, you know, empaths, like a lot of us had someone very narcissistic as an adult, as a sort of an authority in our life, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe. That's one thing I noticed. Like a lot of empaths have an authority when they were younger that was very narcissistic and controlling, that would shut down the throat chakra. And so we need to really reclaim our throat chakra so we can speak our truth. We have so much to share, and it's of no use if it's just, you know, lying deep down inside you. Like we have so much to give and share, but also on our own terms, you know.
Yeah.
not because we feel like we have to, but we love to give. Like that's part of an empath's trait. Like we want to share because it gives us joy. We want this world to be freaking awesome. We want to see harmony and peace, and we want people to be healed and happy. And, you know,
yeah.
So sharing our voice is a gift. And it took me a long time to realize that I had, you know, that I had a voice. And I mean, I did have it. I had to fight for it, you know, because for so many reasons, as you know, we've done past life regressions.
Yeah.
Like I've had lifetimes where I was like burned at a stake for being a witch, or, you know, being mm-hmm. accused of being a witch or a priestess or any of that, where we've shared, you know, parts of ourselves and ended up getting, you know, murdered for
yeah.
it and suffered. And we're like, I don't want to do that again. Or, you know,
absolutely.
So.
And then also past lives where we weren't even allowed to have a voice, period. I've
yeah.
seen past lives where somebody is like supposed to be, say, serving the role as like a wife, but they're straight up just mm-hmm. a servant, and there's yeah. silence. And so when you do use your voice, you're speaking for all those past life versions of yourself. Mm. And one thing I've noticed too with setting empaths to setting boundaries is there's this fear of repercussion because we've, you know, that's, we get that through like indoctrination, through going through school, authority yep. figures, family. And, you know, when you do stand up to someone, power dynamic change, right? Some sort of punishment, mm-hmm. something's going yeah. on there. And so that's something that's important for all of us. We are all here to experience that because we're here to fully reclaim our power. So it might not mm-hmm. feel good or look pretty, but in retrospect, oh yeah, you're going to be so happy when you do that. So,
so you true. Know,
it's like we're becoming like, I think empaths are just superheroes who just haven't like been told they're that superhero yet. So they have to kind of like that scene in a movie where they learn, okay, yeah, I am this. Like, this is who you really are. And so keep that big heart that wants to help the world, but, mm-hmm. you know how to come at it from being really brave and in your own power mm. and in your own voice. Like that's what's going to make the biggest difference. Yeah.
Oh, so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Just a stream of light came in the forest as you're talking. I'm like, oh yes. And you know, the other thing is that create a support system, like find other empathic people whose hearts are the same as yours.
Yeah.
'Cause not, you know, I think we tend to attract a lot of people that really they want our energy or they want our support, but we need support too. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not a one way street. Life is to be able to receive as well. So as an empath, find people that can give to you. Like we love to give. Find someone that can give to you as much as you love to give. That way it's a reciprocal, you know, energy. And that is the infinity symbol.
Yeah.
Continuing. We don't want to just keep giving to emptiness, to a void. It doesn't work well that way. And we get drained, and then it never feels good. So as an empath, find support system, find your tribe, find the people that you can talk to about anything, that you can share stuff with, that you can give and receive, right? It's a give and take. It's not just a one-way street. You don't just receive and you don't just give. It has to be both. So a support system, you know, is so important.
Absolutely. And it's so important to talk about it too, because I'm meeting more empaths just out in the world. Now it's something that we really do talk about. It's sort of at the forefront of of awakening now, coming to consciousness. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, even like if, I mean, Instagram has such a great spiritual community. You see those mm-hmm. memes about empaths and stuff like that, that you weren't really seeing four years yeah. ago. You were seeing more of like the conspiracy theory memes, right? But no, mm-hmm. if you notice the shift, it's more about, hey, emotions, sensitivity, being empathic. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're really focusing our community now on more of that heart-centered connection. So yeah, that's really cool to see that.
I just love that. I love that heart-centered connection. Yeah. That's what I'm about. That's what I want to connect into. You know, I don't want those low-level relationships. I really want heart-centered in everything that I do. I think that's where we're going with the world. We need heart-centered connections. If it's not from the heart, it's just, you know, I don't know what it is, but it's not real to me. Yeah. Anything from the heart, that's where I feel alive. That's where I feel it's real. And that's where I know that it's good for me. If it feels good in my heart, then I know that it's good, you know? And so empaths, we can also be discerning, and we can use our empathy as a superpower to figure out like, hey, does this feel right? Like we don't, like you said, we don't have to be martyrs anymore. And that's the old paradigm. And we are moving out of the old paradigm, and we are breaking the old, you know, matrix of what it meant to be an empath and how it is to live in this world. Now we want to create something new. We are the innovators, the visionaries, and we need to know how important we are here. You know, empaths, you are very important. Your love, everything that you're creating, everything that you want, because I know empaths, they want good, not just for themselves, but for all, you know?
Absolutely. I would say that empaths are the ones really creating this shift in consciousness, mm-hmm. because it's a heart-centered shift. And so that openness, that sensitivity, that respect for all beings, for all walks of life, like that's such a beautiful thing. And so to have people who carry this amazing gift with them, but then also be so drained and it being very hard to function in a matrix. This matrix doesn't really reward empaths, but that's what we're shifting. So they, you know, don't give up. Stay in that mm-hmm. heart and be sensitive and beautiful, because that's where the real change is going to come from.
So beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then like, here's a tip I really wanted to share that I love. This is my number one thing I like to do, especially in the Carolinas, is I have this clawfoot bathtub that is so big and so luxurious. And it's like, I never really had like a gorgeous tub like that before, you know? And so, except when I was like a kid. So I just take the most luxurious baths and I put all the Epsom salt I can, because that's also clears you, you know?
Yeah.
Put in my favorite crystals. I put in like a black onyx, because black onyx absorbs any negativity, and it literally will wash away anything that I have on me from that day or that, you know, whenever. And then when it drains, I imagine it draining out all of the old toxic stuff, all the old energy, anything that's not really aligning to my highest and best good. I just imagine it going down the drain, and I feel incredible. So if you have a bath, if you can take a bath, you know, salt is it clears your energy and it's a conduit. So I highly suggest that, you know, taking baths is really good.
Yeah. It's a great way. The Epsom salts. And what I like too really is, so I like to share the grounding technique, right? I like to mm-hmm. dump that energy. And what's really good about any time of like, if you're going to do some sort of discording or energy dumping, get visual and really trust mm-hmm. what you're seeing. Breath work, so important when you're consciously guiding something out of you. One technique I like that Carla Fox, she's a shaman, and she actually is the founder of Quantum Sphere Healing, which I practice. Mm-hmm. She has this, excuse me, this great exercise about taking your parts back. So if you are in some sort of interaction with somebody where you feel like, hey, this person has my voice, this person has my heart, imagine yourself taking that heart back, pulling it through like a golden mesh of energy that's clearing it, putting that back into your body. And you can play off of this technique. So any sort of technique that makes you feel like you're taking a piece back, a part of you back, anything that's bringing you into wholeness, that's something that I definitely recommend.
That's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Would you mind like just walking our listeners through that technique just so they can actually experience it? Or
absolutely. So what we can do is imagine, say, let's start with the heart, right? Think about if you think somebody has a piece of your heart, so an ex or a family member, or you can even do this with an organization that you belong to, or say you left a job. Just, you know, close your eyes, take a few deep breaths, and just really visualize exactly what that is. Now, it could be any body part. It can even be something more esoteric, like a concept. So let's go with the heart. Now, if it's a person, imagine that person is sitting across from you, and really look at them with just gratitude, you know, just love, gratitude, another soul. Now, reach your hands out and literally and have the vision go in and pull your heart back and imagine a stream of just gold shimmering light and pass that heart through that golden stream of light and just watch it get cleansed and refreshed and pull that heart back and put it right back into the center of your chest. There you go. And thank it, bring in, you know, really take that in and see what that feels like. You literally took a piece of you back from this person, from some sort of organization, entity, whatever you want to call it. And any sort of anytime you're really doing some visual work, right? You're doing your breath, you're sending an intention, you're doing energy work. And so empaths, we are the best at energy work. This is what we do. So practice techniques like this. You can also reach my grounding technique on my blog, cosmicarchers.com. Similar to like this, but you're going to be dumping energy through your grounding cord. So do daily things like that that make you feel like yourself again. That's key.
It is key. Thanks for that reminder. Like, yeah, every day, you know, we, like, as healers, we wash energy through us after we work with a client, right? Because you can take on a lot of stuff. And I think when people aren't properly trained and then they do it, it's a very dangerous thing because you're actually absorbing or taking on other people's stuff. You can, you know, depending on how you do it. And I've seen a lot of people get hurt that way. So, you know, clearing, like, we clear ourselves every single time we do anything with anyone because you're intimately getting into their space, right? And so, and so I think that's also where we get a lot of strength, is learning that we can work with this energy. We can work with pain and different things, and then we can clear it out of our space. You know, we don't have to keep holding on to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say, as a tip, for people who are practicing this, you really want to do this just when you really feel it. You don't want to think that there's something wrong with you or create some sort of sense of paranoia, because then you're going to be constantly looking for stuff to clear. So take it from tune in, see where something doesn't feel good. This is why it's so important to practice feeling your feelings and sitting with it. And I know empaths know how to feel their feelings, so that's a really good thing. But, you know, practice with it and then employ whatever technique you feel like. If you think you want to go and take a salt bath, do a more active activity, you know, trust what your body's telling you in terms of, like, restoring your energy. And little rituals that we all individually have are so important. So it doesn't have to be something that you and I talked about today. Cleaning your space, you know, dancing, whatever it is, like, that makes you return.
Walking in nature.
Oh yeah. Forest bathing, just walking in nature. I love that. I think nature, up there, like my top three, just getting outside, taking a walk, that, and literally just shaking it off. When I always like to tell people, sometimes in a session, their higher self will tell me, this person just needs to, like, stand up and shake. Cause when we do that, we're shaking trauma off of ourselves. That's why if you notice a cat, when they shake all quick, they're actually shaking trauma off. Because they can't. Animals do that when they don't have the same emotion. Maybe they don't. I'm saying, like, emotional animals are so sentient. They probably are processing their emotions. We just don't know about it. But the shaking is one way they remove trauma. So dance, sacred dance, movement, jumping up and down. That's another good way to just shake it off. Shake off all that negativity that you're absorbing. Get yourself feeling good and centered again.
Absolutely. And also, I forgot to mention, like, there's just so many things, and I don't think we have time for all of it today, but sage. I'm a sage fanatic.
sage, Palo. I really love the smell of Palo Santo. That's another one.
Delicious.
Yeah. You know, sage up the space yourself, whatever, to make you feel like reset, because we're the ones in control. Like, we're the ones who are, we decide when we feel good, when something is cleared or not. Like, really trust that. So, another great one.
Oh, wow. Beautiful. I mean, I think we gave quite a few tips. Yeah. We could even do a part two, because I think we probably have a lot more to share.
For sure.
But for the sake of things, like, you know, we want people to be able to absorb what we already shared with them. Is there anything else you'd like to, you know, last note you'd like to leave with everyone?
Well, we're recording this and it's 11:11 on my clock. So I think that's a very good sign that we have, you know, done a really thorough job going over this for this first part. And, you know, I just want to let everyone know that out there that I love you and I'm rooting for you, and you are not alone as an empath. And there's so many amazing things that you can do to heal yourself every day. And so really trust with what feels good and go for it.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all connected. So I think, you know, one of the reasons why we love to do what we do is to share, because we want to see people empowered, happy, and feeling good. And we do want to share, you know, love with you and put out positive energy, knowing that, yeah, you're not alone ever. Even in the darkest moments when you feel like all is lost, like, there's still a light flickering for you, you know? So hold on to that light and find ways to make it brighter within yourself. It's all about what's going on inside of you. So thank you so much for tuning in. I'm going to put your link below, Susan, so you can find Susan. And we appreciate you connecting with us. Sending you so much love.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.